Today she's Sacht Bamitsiya Daf Chafei, and we will start in Daf Chaf Dalar Amabes at the Mishnah on the bottom of the oven. Says the Mishnah Ve'elachayev Lahachriz. In the following situations, if somebody finds something that they lost, an announcement is required. Matzah Peres Bekeli. If Peres were found in a Keli. So here we have a Machloikus Rishonim. How to understand Matzah Peres Bekeli? The Ritva explains that the situation of Matzah Peres Bekeli is that it's adequate to just identify the Peres. And by saying that I had these Peres in the Keli, that would be enough of an identification that the owner could get back those Peres. The Achroinim asked on Ritva, is that enough of a simon? Just saying that I had apples in a barrel? So the Achroinim say that even the Ritva will agree that the situation the Mishnah is referring to is a situation where there were typical bags, baskets that were used for apples and some were used for different fruits. And he had here apples in a basket that's usually used for oranges. And therefore, it's certainly enough of a simon. That's how Ritva explains. However, other Rishonim explain that Peres Bekeli require that you identify both the Peres and the Keli. Or you identify a Keli. So here too, the Ritva Pshat becomes easier to understand. Because according to Ritva, the Mishnah is teaching us two dinim. One din is that you could identify it by the fruit, you could identify something by the contents, or you could identify it by the Keli, by the vessel that they're in. That's how Ritva explains. But according to the other Rishonim, ask the Chassam Sofer, if we learned the din of Matzah Peres Bekeli, and by Matzah Peres Bekeli, the halacha is you have to be able to identify the Keli, so why is not a Mishnah teaching us a new din of Keli Kamashahu? We already spoke about identifying something through the Keli. So Chassam Sofer says a beautiful pshat. He says, if I would only have the din of Matzah Peres Bekeli, we would think that the only acceptable way of identifying a Keli is by doing two things. You have to identify the Keli, and you also have to identify the contents. In the absence of both of those simonim, it isn't enough. Teaches us the Mishnah, Keli Kamashahi. Identifying the Keli is enough of a simon. Maspikis, or if you have money in a wallet, a kus kamashi, or just a plain wallet. Tziburei Peres, bundles of Peres. Tziburei Peres is bundles of Peres. Tziburei Mas, bundles of money. The Mishnah will go into Tziburei Peres and Tziburei Mor. Sholosh Metbeis Zal Zeh. So the way the Rambam explains, he says Sholosh Metbeis Zal Gav Zeh is an explanation of Tziburei Mas. What is considered, and we'll discuss this also more in the Gemara, what is considered a pile of money? Sholosh Metbeis Gav Zeh. Three coins, one on top of the other. Krichosh Rishus HaYachid, we discussed this earlier in the parak. If you have these bundles in Rishus HaYachid, where people are unlikely where they're able to be identified. Kikros HaBal Bayis, going back to what we discussed, Bal Bayis Kikros are unique, and therefore they have their own form, and they're identifiable. Furthermore, as we, Gut Chazara, as we learned, since the Kikros Ein Mavir Malo'ichlem, both Jews and Goyim, we learned, won't step on food, and therefore the simon won't be lost. And we're talking, as the Gemara said, in a place where there are no animals that we have to be concerned will trample on the food. Gizei Tzemer Halakuchim Beis Omen, wool that was processed, that every craftsman has his own unique way of processing wool, and therefore we have a simon. Kade Yayin v'kade Shemen, barrels of wine or of oil, Harelu Chayv L'Hachris. And again, to review what we learned at Daf Chof Gimel Mabez, we had a Machloikis Reb Zeira and Abaya, how to understand the line of Kade Yayin v'kade Shemen. Rashi explained explained that Kade Yayin v'kade Shemen means that they were Shumim, that they were resealed. And in Reseal, we also saw a machloikas Rashi and Taisvis, how to understand what Rishumim means. Rashi explained that there's a certain time during the year that some people reseal the barrels and some people don't. And therefore, that is enough of a simon. Taisvis explained that everybody has their own unique way of resealing the barrel. And that's why it's a simon. That's how Reb Zeira explained. And Abai explained that the way to understand the Mishnah is part of the year, it's Lefnei Oitzris, there's Lefnei Oitzris before the warehouses are open, La'acha Oitzris after the warehouses are open. Before the warehouses are open, barrels are not left open, and therefore they're identifiable. After the warehouses are open, Abai says they're not left open, they're left open, and they're not identifiable. Says the Gemara, what did our Mishnah say? Tam the Matzah Peiris Bekli, or Mos Bekis. He found the Peiris in the barrel and money in the wallet. What would be the din based on what we learned in our Mishnah? Hakeli Ulafana Peiris. If we had the barrel and the fruit wasn't inside, it was outside. Kis Ulafana of Mos. Or if we had the wallet, but the money wasn't in the wallet, it was outside in the front of the wallet. Our Mishnah is teaching us, Harei Ushalai. Then the person who finds it may keep it. Says the Gemara, actually, Tanina, our Mishnah is teaching us, Lahadu Tana Rabbanan, as we always explain this, that even though what we're referring from the Mishnah is explicit in the Braisa, since Mishnayis are more authoritative than Braisas, we try to find support in a Mishnah to a din that we learn in a Braisa, that the Braisa says, Matzah Kalev Lefana Peiris, Kis Lefana of Mars, Harel Shaloi, you could keep the money, you could keep the Peiris. What would be the din, continues the Braisa? Mektsasim Bekeli, or Mektsasim Gabakarki, some of the fruit is still in the barrel, and some of it is in front of the barrel. Mektsasim Bekis, or Mektsasim Gabakarki, some of the money is in the wallet, and some is outside of it. Chayv Lahakras. So since some of the money remains in the wallet and some of the money remains, some of the fruit remains in the barrel, hachraz is required. Ask the Gemara, for a minute there's another braisa. Matzah davashayim by simin, betzad davashayish by simin. If something has a simin, is left in front of something that doesn't have a simin, is in front of something that does have a simen, which means fruit in front of the barrel, money in front of the wallet, chayv lahachris, then you have to make an announcement. So here we have an obvious question. Here it says that if the thing doesn't have a simen, and it's in front of something that does have a simen, hachroz is required. But didn't we learn from our Mishnah and the previous braisa that if something is in front of something else, you don't make an announcement? We have a stira. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. This is the way we're going to learn the Gemara's question. That why here is the halacha, the chayiv lahachris, and before we said, harei el shaloi, that you keep it. Continues the Gemara, ba ba'al simen v'not el shaloi, if there's a keli, and there was fruit in front of that keli. And now we're following the opinion of the Braisa that you have to make a achraza not only on the keli, but on the fruit also. And I'm an honest individual. I hope I am. I'm an honest individual, and I come and I say, the barrel is mine, but the fruit is not mine. Zocha halo, b'abal simen v'not l'shaloi, zocha halo b'dov Hashem b'simen. Which means as follows. I came and I said that the keli is mine. The fruit, it's not mine. So it teaches us the braisa that the fruit you, the finder, keeps, and I get back my keli. The same would be by wallet of money. So Mefarshim ask the obvious question. I'm an honest person. I said the barrel is mine, the fruit is not. So if the fruit is not mine, obviously you, the finder, will keep the fruit. What is the braisa teaching me that we need to learn? So I saw two nice pshatim in understanding the braisa. One pshat that I saw is as follows. As we're obviously learning, according to the opinion of this braisa, money in front of a wallet, fruit in front of a basket, we could safely assume is from that barrel. We could safely assume is from that wallet. So if I come and I say that only the wallet is mine, or only the basket is mine, isn't that an indication that this is not really my basket? Because if it was really my basket, the fruit should be mine too. And therefore, when I'm saying that the fruit is not mine, it should really be also saying that I'm not entitled to the basket. I'm not entitled to the wallet. It teaches us, the Brisa, that we don't say that. That I get back the basket, and you define to keep the money or the fruit. That's one pshat. Another pshat is as follows. The Brisa is teaching us the following chiddush. You found the basket with the fruit in front of the basket. And as this Brisa holds, and we'll analyze this Brisa's psak more in a moment in the Gemara, this Brisa holds that the fruit in front of the basket, you have to make an announcement, not just on the basket, but on the fruit also. You anticipate to make that announcement, and someone's going to come and pick up both. Is that what happens? I come and I say, only the basket is mine. So we would think, says the Pnei Yeshua, that when you took, you didn't take ownership of this fruit ever. Why don't you take ownership of this fruit? Because you were assuming somebody's going to show up and claim both the fruit and the basket. So if somebody's smart and he came to learn, maybe he could chap and take the basket, take the fruit. Because you, the finder, never really took ownership of that fruit because you never anticipated to keep it. Teaches us the Brisa that if I only claim the basket, you, the finder, are entitled to keep the fruit. So here we're learning that if the basket has fruit in front of it, and the wallet has money in front of it, we assume that the money belongs to that wallet, the fruit belongs to that basket. Which means, if we're going to put it into halakhic terms, we follow karev. We follow that if this is right next to each other, so what's closest belongs together. Ask the achroinim. There's a concept throughout Shas, many times we have this din, that when we have a suffix, and there are different ways that we could try to resolve the question. And one way to resolve the question is by following roiv. And another way of resolving the question is by following karev. What's closer? Which principle do you use? So the Gemara says many places, roiv karev, holchanacha roiv. So here, we're following karev, not roiv. So ask the Achroinim, why all of a sudden here are we following this principle of Karev when we always follow the principle of Roiv? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer that the Ktsoi says, in the name of the Ramban, he says this Karev and this Karev. He says as follows. If something is found, and we don't know it's from the nearest city or it's from the Roiv of the world. So we follow Roiv. Here it's not just that it's found. It's literally found right in front of the basket, right in front of the wallet. That's not just a regular karev. That's considered one unit. And in fact, that's why we could understand another opinion that the Ktsoi says. The Ktsoi says that in order that we should apply the din that our Brisa is now saying, it can't be, you know, nearby. It has to be within an amma, he says, maybe four ammas, but it has to be fairly close. If it's going to be far away, then the din of the Brisa certainly will not apply. Another pshat, which I think is really a variation of what the Tzais is saying, is that we have to find when the Karev is Matsui, when it's reasonable to assume that we should follow the Karev, then we follow the Karev. Here it's reasonable to assume that if there's fruit in front of a basket, that fruit came from the basket. And there we do follow Karev versus Roif. The Chassam Sofer says a different pshat. He says as follows. In a situation where there's a real suffix, and now we need to attempt to try to know what to do. So as I said earlier, there are different principles that we could apply. Karev, Roiv, different principles. But that's in a situation that we all have a suffix. Here, the person who's claiming that the fruit is his, he's a bori. He's saying definitively that both the basket and the fruit are his, that the wallet and the money is his. So where the karev is backed with a bari, then we follow the karev. And that's the circumstance of our Gemara. And if the Chassam Sofer isn't following the Tzoyce's approach, then we could say that the Chassam Sofer will agree with the Nesivus. Because the Nesivus, unlike the Tzoyce, doesn't give us the limitation that in order for this din to apply, the fruit has to be very close to the basket. The money has to be very close to the wallet. He says as long as they're close enough, it's good enough. But again, we have a question. The Braisa clearly says that if the fruit is in front of the basket, we have to denounce both the fruit and the basket, whereas the Mishnah and the other Braisa say that you don't. How do we reconcile this? So Gemara gives a number of truths. Amar Rav Zvid, loy kasha. Ha b'kuva v'kitna, ha b'tzana v'peri. Kuva v'kitna, again, we'll learn it with Rashi Pshat. By linen. So linen is usually one long piece. So it's unlikely that the entire piece fell out of the basket. If this linen began in the basket, some of it will still be in the basket. So if all of the linen is out of the basket, we could assume that this linen isn't from this basket. Fruit, on the other hand, is more likely to completely spill out. And therefore, if fruit is in front of the basket, that still could very much mean the fruit is from that basket. In the Gemara. Lo'kasha, ha'b'kuva v'kitna, flax is unlikely to completely spill out, ha'b'tzana v'peri. Rapapama, ha'va ha'b'tzana v'peri. We're both referring to peris. Just, how do we reconcile the two brises? Lo'kasha, ha'd'shtai b'midi, ha'd'lo'shtai b'midi. Which means as follows. If some of the fruit is left in the basket, so then that's a pretty good indication. Some of the fruit remained, and some of the fruit spilled out. If none of the fruit is in the basket, according to Rapapa, then we have no indication that this fruit came from the basket, and therefore the person who found it could keep the fruit and just be machrez on the basket. Another teretz, he by say, mahava ha delay shtab emidi. There's nothing left in the basket. V'loy kasha. Ha demada apil gabaperi, ha delay mahada apil gabaperi. We have to see in which direction is the opening of the basket. If the opening in the basket and the fruit is right in front of the opening, so it's safe to assume that the fruit spilled out. But if the opening is here and the fruit is on the other side, how did the fruit get to the other side? Then we shouldn't and don't have to assume that the fruit came from this basket. Another teretz, people say, it's obvious, that's what the Mefarshim explained to Gemara, it's obvious that if the fruit is from the back, then you don't have that. Then we have no reason to assume that the fruit came from this basket. However, v'loy kasha, hadalis isle oignin litzana, hadalis le oignin litzana. If the basket has a rim, so the rim would prevent all the fruit from spilling out. So if all the fruit did not spill out, it's a pretty safe bet. If all the fruit is not in the basket, why didn't the rim keep some of it in there? So it must be that this fruit isn't from this basket. But if there is no rim around the basket, so it's easy for the fruit to spill out, and therefore if the fruit is in front of the basket, we assume that the fruit is still from that basket. We learned in the Mishnah, Tziburei Peris with Tziburei Mas, if they're found a bundle of Peris or a bundle of Mas, the halacha is you have to announce it. Sham Mina. So what is the announcement? The announcement is that we found a few piles of fruit and a few piles of money, and based on that announcement, you could give a simon and pick it up. So isn't this a raya, the minion of a simon? So again, we actually already learned the sugya earlier that minion is a simon. So Mefarshim asked, why do we need it again? So again, the Mefarshim explained, the derech of the Gemara is to try to find as many proofs to a principle as we can. So the Gemara is saying that perhaps our Mishnah is a raya, the minion is a simon, the fact that we have all of these, that you can identify how many piles there are here, says the Gemara, tani tzavah piles. Don't say that there are a number of piles, and then by you successfully identifying how many piles you'll have a simon, there's only one pile. So ask the Pnei Yeshua, so even in one pile you could give a minion, you could say how many fruits you had in this one pile. Says the Pnei Yeshua, sometimes it's not only piles of fruit. It could be kernels of wheat. Nobody counts how many kernels of wheat you have here. So says the Gemara, so what is the simon? If the number isn't the siman, then the fact that you could identify where it was found, and you saying that I left it there is a siman. So then that's another sugya that we learned. So shouldn't our mishnah be raya shamtino that makam have a siman? Says the Gemara, no, Tanitzibur Paris. So the way to understand the Gemara is, we have a raya from our Mishnah that either minyan or makam are a siman. But when we try to bring a raya that it's minyan, so we say it's makam. When we try to say it's makam, it's minyan, and we don't have a definitive proof how to understand the Mishnah. Sholos mitbeizul gavzu, if you have three coins, one on top of each other. Amar Yitzchak Magdala, there's a fascinating Meritz Chayis. The Meritz Chayis says that this Amayra, Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala, is only found one time in Shas. And since he's only found one time in Shas, that he speaks about a Migdal, that the coins are in the shape of are piled up like a Migdal, he got the nickname, Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala, in the honor that that's the only time he appears in Shas. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala, Gush Asuyin Ke Migdalim. When are three coins considered a siman? When they're piled up one on top of the other. The Gemara will define it a little better in a moment. Tanya Nami Haki. Matzah Maz Mufazaris, if you found money that's scattered around, Hareilu Shaloi, then the person who found it may keep it. A Suink Magdalim, but if they're piled up like a Migdal, Chayiv Lahachris. Veila and a Suink Magdalim. What is the definition that it's piled up like a Migdal? Shalosh Matei Zor Gavzu. Three coins, one on top of the other. Ask the Gemara. Hagufa Kasha. Don't we have a contradiction here? Amrit, first we learned, Matzma Fazaris, that if the money's scattered around, Harel Shaloi. Ha Mishalchum Mishachufi. Once they're not completely scattered, even though they're not perfectly formed, then already Chayiv Lahachris. That announcement is required. Ey Mesefa, let's continue. Asun Kimigdolim Chayiv Lahachris. Only if they're like a migdol, perfect, chayiv lahachros. Ha mishalchufi mishalchufi harei l'shaloi. So we have a contradiction. If they're not perfectly formed, what is the din? Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Kol she'en asuyin k'migdolim. If they're not perfectly formed, then it's ready mifazaris karalei. It's considered scattered, and the finder may keep it. Amar b'chanina, loy shanu el shashloy shemalachim. When is it considered like a migdol? If the coins are from three different kings. Avol shemelech echad, if they come from one country, ein echayv lahachris, then achroz is not required. Ask the Gemara, hechidami, ida suink migdolim, if they're made like a tower, so now filish shemelech echanami. So what's the difference if they're coming from one country or two or three countries? Vida ain't a suink migdolim, and we just finished saying that it's only considered that you have to make an achraza when they're perfectly piled up. So filosh shloshim melachim nami loy. So then, if even the coins come from three different countries, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, aliyat mahachiyatma. If we need to understand what Rav Chanina says, this is the way to understand it. Loy shana el melach echad kein shloshim melachim. It doesn't make a difference one country or three countries if they're piled up. As the Gemara is going to identify in a moment, properly, then we have to make achraza, even if they come from one country. And if they're not piled up properly, even if they're from three different countries, achraza is not required. What is the proper formation? Vehechidomi desuin kemigdolim. What is the proper formation? Revicha tato. The widest coin is on the bottom. Mitzer aloi. Then the one that's a little smaller is in the middle. The zuta and the narrowest, the smaller one, ilovei. Eleven mitzia. That the smallest one is the top of the middle one. The mrinin anuchin chinah. That is a clear indication who formed this so perfectly, one on top of the other. There must be somebody deliberately left it that way. And therefore, if you find it, you can't just take it because somebody left it that way. Where they're all the same size, even if they're piled up nicely, the kulikah dananenu, that they're all the exact same size. Afagav, the mincha hadadi, even though they're one on top of the other, the halach is hareil ushloi. The person who finds it may keep it. For we say, Ema, esrumi, It just happened that these coins were left that way, or Bahada Adada Nafal. And therefore, it's not considered that it was left deliberately that way, and the finder may keep it. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says, Afilu Shamelech Echad Nami Machris. Even if they're the same size, because they're all from the same country, let's say you would have three quarters, one on top of the other, that's enough that Achroz is required. Ask the Gemara, my Machris. What is the announced, what type of Achroz is made? Minyan. If you say that you say, you the finder, announce I found the amount of coins, so ask the Gemara, if you who found the coins announce the amount of coins, so why do we keep on speaking about three coins, even two coins? Ma'iri Tosa, Afil Trei Nami. So where do Rishonim explain the Gemara? According to this Manda Omer, saying the amount of all, I'm the one that found the coins, and when I'll announce I found two coins or three coins, and what do you have to do? You have to come and tell me what type of coins they were, quarters, dollars, whatever. But if that's the way to understand, so why does the Mishnah speak that I found three coins? And if I found two coins, the din ought to be the same. Says the Gemara, what, because we don't announce how many coins. We announce Tiva Machris. And again, this is the way we learned this Gemara previously. This is the way to understand the Gemara. If I'll say that I found coins, if I'll say I found coins, so obviously if you'll come along and you'll say how many coins, there were two coins, it's a safe bet. Because the minimum amount of coins means two. That's the minimum amount of a plural statement. So therefore, we understand the Mishnah. I say coins. So if all you'll come along and say is two coins, that isn't a proof that you really know what you're talking about. Three shows that you know what you're talking about. And that's why the Mishnah speaks about that I announce, I defined, or I say I found coins, and you have to come, this is the way Rishonim explained the Gemara, and make two statements. You have to say how many and how they were placed. Why? So isn't that two simonim? Why are two simonim required? Isn't one simon enough? Say to Rishonim, beautiful pshat. Absolutely. Typically, one simon is enough. But where is one simon enough? Where there aren't two simonim. But here we have built-in two simonim. And if you're only able to say one and not the other, why? That's something suspicious. And therefore, unless you say both simonim, I can't give it back to you. Ask the Gemara, Bar Rav Yirmiyah, Kishir Mahu. They weren't put in this migdal form, but they were put in a circle. Kishir Mahu. They were put in a straight line. Kichatsuva Mahu. Chatsuva means like a tripod. Kisul Mahu. Like a ladder. Like steps. One partially on top of the other. What are they, is that, are these valid simonim? Says the Gemara, Pshayt Miyachada. At least one din we could answer. Domer Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah. Kol She'ilu Machnas L'Kissa B'Neim V'Noitlim V'Vas Achas. If they're so connected, or there's so much overlap on top, one on top of the other, that they could all be picked up with one small piece of wood, that is already considered that they're all one unit, a Chayv L'Hachlis. Says the Gemara, Bayer of Ashi, Ka'avni Beis Kulis. If they're formed like the Avodah Zorah Beis Kulis, Mahu, what's the din? So before we go further, Taisvis, the other Rishonim, asked the question that the Pasuk says, Lo Yishama Al Picha. We're not supposed to mention Avodah Zorah. So why is Al-Gemahara mentioning an Avodah Zorah? So the Rishonim answer that Kulis is not really the name of the Avodah Zorah. The name of the Avodah Zorah was whatever the name of the Avodah Zorah is. I don't even know what the name of the Avodah Zorah is. What happened was, the Goyim would call the Avodah Zorah Kilus. Kilus means to praise. We, who want to actually defame the Avodah Zorah, would not call it Kilus. We would make a play on the words and call it Kulis, not Kilus. Taisha says otherwise it would be called Markulis. What does Markulis mean? That it's not sweet, it's mar. It's bitter. But since it isn't the actual name of the Avodah Zorah, we can mention it. Toshma, the Tanya Matzah Mars Mufazaris, if the money's scattered, Hareil Shaloi. Kavni Beis Kulis, however, if the form like the Avni Beis Kulis, Chayv L'Hachlis. Ask the Gemara, what is the formation of the Avni Beis Kulis? Veilein avne beis kulis, achas mikan, vachas mikan, vachas al gabeim, like a tripod, like a segot. Tarabon, a mitzvah sell b'shuk. This question comes up very often. You find money in the street. Or matzah chaveri, and then I find a $100 bill in the street, and you come along and you say, shalihu, it's my money. Harei v'mishalehu. Chadoshihi. And you even give a simon. You say it was a new $100 bill. Neroinishi. It was from this government. It was an American $100 bill. Shemelech plainihi. Or you have a different simon. Le'amaklum. Money has no simon. V'loyoid. Furthermore, ela filu shmoi kosovala. Even if your name was put on it, le'amaklum. Which comes up, remember when I was young, parents used to put their name on the dollar bill that they gave to their children for allowance. So in case the child lost the money, has a name on it. Says the Gemara, it's not a simon. Why? Lefish ain't simon la matbeya. Money doesn't have a simon. Doma fuke fuke or menish achrin anafel. So where do we try to explain is like this? Money was meant to spend. So yes, you put your name on the dollar bill. But when you go to the store to buy something, you give the storekeeper the dollar bill. It still has your name on it. So obviously, money has no simon. So Mepharshim asks, what is the Gemara saying? So the Rishonim explained the Gemara very nicely. They explained the Gemara as follows. We've been learning that that's the fundamental principle of this perek, that if something has a simon, you return it to the owner. So why is money different? Why don't you say that if this Gemara has my name on it or has some other simon on it, and I can identify the simon, why should you give me back the Gemara? Maybe I sold the Gemara to somebody else. So Rishonim explained that's what the Gemara means to say. Money is fundamentally different than an item. A Gemara, I may sell the Gemara, but typically a Gemara I could assume is mine. So if a Gemara is found in the street, and I come and I bring a simon that it's mine, we can return it to me. Money, by definition, is not meant to hold on to. Some people have a harder time holding on to it. But money, by definition, is meant to spend. So, by definition, it's impossible to give money a simon, and therefore, even if you'll give money a simon, we wouldn't give it back to the person who found it. Says the Mishnah, Matza acha agafa, or acha agedar, if you found birds behind a wall, mikshorim, that the geizels mikshorim, these birds that are tied together, the pigeons that are tied together, or bishvilin shebesadus, or you find them on a road, in a field, hareza layigaben, the best thing to do is just don't touch it. Nigmar will explain in a moment. Matzah kliva ashpa, again, if you found a vessel in the garbage dump, again, in mechusa, if it's covered, so it's obvious that it was put there deliberately, layigaba, the person who finds it shouldn't touch it. In Megula, however, if it's left uncovered, noit l'makros, you could take it and make an announcement. My Tama, ask the Gemara, why is the halacha that if you found these birds, you shouldn't touch them? Damri, hani inish atznu, somebody deliberately left it there, vishokluhu, and if you take them away, les l'marayu simon b'gavayu. If you'll take those birds away, that the person who left them there will never have a way of retrieving them or giving a simon. Helkach l'shafkinu ad os marai v'shokvelhu. Leave it there until the owner will come and take it. Ask the Gemara v'mai, why can't we take it away? And the fact that they're tied together should be a simon. Lehev kesh a simon. Isn't the knot that keeps them together a valid simon? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Abba Rav Zavda Amarav, Bekusharm Bekfneim. They're tied together by their wings. The Kula Alma Hachimakdrilu. Everybody ties the birds together. And if that's the typical way of tying the birds, it's not a valid simon. I saw a beautiful pshat, homiletical pshat, Apidrush. The Mepharshim say, what the Gemara is saying is like this. With Klal Yisrael, we know is compared to a bird. Klal Yisrael, we know is in Golus. So the Gemara is teaching us, how can Klal Yisrael survive the Golus? Says the Gemara, Hilkach, we're talking about birds that are tied together. If Klal Yisrael are be'achtas, if Klai Yisrael tie together, l'shifkinu, they're fine. They will be left alone, ad osmarayu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, v'shakluhu, and takes us out of the Golas. We just have to stay together. Ask the Gemara, v'lehevim makam siman. Fine. The kesher is not a valid siman. But why where they were left is not a valid siman? Answers the Gemara, Amar v'okva v'chama, v'medadim. A bird can't have a siman because they jump around. Ask the Gemara, if the concern here is that the birds aren't the birds that I left here because they jump around, so ima'ama osu, ikut umtaran, so then the finder should be allowed to keep it. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. When you find these birds tied together and the kesher is not a simon, so now I don't know how to analyze the situation. I can't say that they perhaps came from elsewhere. Or I could say that somebody left it here deliberately. Because as Mepharshim says, it's obvious that they can't go too far because they're tied together. Therefore, so we have a question. Were they left here deliberately or not? Whenever we have such a question, don't take them from Natal, but if you took it, layachsar. Machloikas Rishonim, what does it mean, im Natal layachsar? Some Rishonim say, this seems to be the Pshat of Rashi and the Tosfos, that if you took, there's really three opinions in the Rishonim. One opinion is that if you take him, yeimunach atshiyov al yo, just leave it at home. Another Pshat is, im Natal layachsar means that you should sell it. And a third Pshat is that you shouldn't take it, but once you took it, you could use it. Matzah keli ba'ashva mechusa. If you found a covered keli in the garbage dump, lo yigaba, don't touch it. Megula, if you found an uncovered noitel mechusa. Ask the Gemara, remember, but we learned in the Braisa, matzah keli tamim ba'ashva, if we found something covered in the garbage dump, noitel machriz, you should make an announcement, shikain derech ashbalifnois, because people clear the garbage. So if you're going to leave it there, it's going to be carried away. Answers the Gemara, Amar Azir Loi Kasha. Ha! Bekuvi Vekasi. If something is like a cup, where it's obvious that it was left there deliberately, don't touch it. Ha! Besakini Vehemnik, small kalim, like a needle or a small keli, it's obvious that they weren't left there deliberately. Nobody's going to leave them in a garbage you could take away. Bekuvi Vekasi. Lo Yega, Besakini Vehemnik, Noitel Machnas. Both are talking about the cups. Vloikasha. Kan ba'ashba sui lafonos. Kan ba'ashba shena sui lafonos. Ashba sui lafonos. If this is a garbage dump that's clearly, usually cleared away, avedamidasi, asked the Gemara, who leaves something in a garbage that's going to be cleared away? So it's obvious that I lost it. So why is hachroza required? Says the Gemara. Ella, it's talking about an ashbash and a suyulif knife. I left it there because this garbage dump is normally not cleaned up. The nemechalelif knife. And here all of a sudden, they decided to clear it. So you have to do is take it away. Says the Gemara. Bishlam rapapa, hanig tanishikain derech ashbalifonis. According to rapapa, that's what's happening because ashbas are really usually, cleared away. Ela rizvid, that's we're not talking about a garbage pail, garbage dump that's normally cleaned. Says the way to understand the coin service is people usually deliberately leave these type of kalim there, and therefore if such a kalim is found there, we don't assume that it's a lost kalim, rather we assume that it was left there deliberately and don't touch it.